Thank you for bearing with me. Father God, we honor, thank you, and just bless your name because you're a good and mighty God. Thank you for this opportunity to come to hear your word and for your word to speak to us. We pray, O Lord, that we may have ears that are open, that our eyes, our hearts, or everything may be open to what you are saying so that we can receive your word, which is life, which is bread, which is everything that we need. A special blessing to all those who have come and those who are interested in coming. We pray that you may be with them. And we also say a special prayer over Pastor Mbue as he brings this session to us this week. May you just continue to endow him with your wisdom and with a love for you that he then shares with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty, Pastor Mbue is here. And without any further ado, I'm going to invite Pastor Mbue. He is a part of KPFA Baltimore, and he has graciously agreed to do this with us every week. This is week number 3, and I am going to now invite Pastor Mbue to lead us.
Thank you, Sister Patricia. We again thank God for an opportunity to be here today. I cannot tire to express my gratitude to you for your tireless efforts, our sister. We don't take it for granted that you avail yourself in all these things for the purposes of God to be realized among his people. I am praying that we will be able to cover a lot today. We have a lot on our plate, and I'm excited at what there is to be learned today. Let's begin probably by doing a quick recap of some of the things we have been able to learn. This is week number 3, and there are several things we have learned. We began by establishing the supremacy of Holy Scripture. Because when we study God's word, it has to have sufficient authority to speak to us. And we have been doing that. We'll continue to do that. We'll continue to raise a lot of scriptures that authenticate that premise, that God's word is superior, it's supreme, and it has authority to speak to us. Last week, we looked at parallels and patterns in Holy Scripture, and we looked at some of those. We began by looking at the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1, and we found parallels in the book of John chapter 1. Some important words that we picked there, like in the beginning. God, the word, light versus darkness, life. Those are important words to remember. We also looked at the order of creation, that in the 6 days that God created the heavens and the earth, he said, God saw that it was good. That's repeated 4 times. And on the sixth day, when God created mankind, when God created Adam, it says, God saw that the works of his hands was very good. That's important to note. But God said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it's good. But when he created man, he said, and God saw that it was very good. We also noted that every day began in the evening and ended in the morning. Evening came and morning. Evening came, then morning. The first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. We left off at the creation of man. We didn't go very far into it. I thought we would have been able to go far into that, but we are going to go into a bit of that today. But we did discover that God created man in his image and likeness. We're going to touch a little more on that today. And God blessed mankind and said, have dominion over our creation. And that's the same word that God said when he created animals. He blessed them. But God did say to man several things. One, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Today, before we get into what I want us to learn, I want us to go back to the Beatitudes a little bit. We did mention, we did assign us to look at the Beatitudes, did we?
Yeah, on the first day.
But we did not look at them. We just touched a little bit. But something after last week's Bible study, somebody reminded me that sometimes I say things and leave them off without going into them, and that's not good. So there's something I would like us to look at the Beatitudes, and I'll ask somebody, probably Sister Patricia, to read for us Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 3.
All right, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 3. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
That's the only attitude I would want us to look at. When we asked what are Beatitudes, Gloria told us they are the attitudes we should have as we approach the things of God. Let us look at this one attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I feel like we need to come again before the Lord in prayer. Let's talk to the Lord. Our eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, today, as we approach your throne of grace and as we approach the reading of Holy Scripture and the study of it, we do that very reverently. And we do that very humbly. We recognize who it is we are trying to study. We recognize the supremacy of your word. And we yield ourselves to you, Lord, that you may show us. In our own capacity, we cannot understand these things. Your word has told us that the things of the spirit are spiritually discerned. So we pray that your spirit would quicken our spirits and it would grasp exactly what you want us to know today in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's an attitude that God wants us to have. God wants us to approach the things of the kingdom from a position of humility, from a position of poverty. I do not know. Last week we looked at the word rich, did we not? And we said rich has to do with a lot, not few. So Jesus is saying to his disciples now, in Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus picking his disciples. He didn't have any disciples before. And when he got his disciples, the first lesson that we learn of Jesus speaking to his disciples is the Beatitudes. And the first thing out of his mouth was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to approach him from a position of poverty. God, I do not know. Lord, I do not have. Now, one of the questions that I asked us to answer last week was, when was Adam created? At the beginning, at the middle, or at the end of creation?
At the end.
At the end.
At the end. Now, what does that tell you? How did Adam contribute to the work of creation?
He managed it.
Huh?
He was a manager.
How did Adam contribute to the work of creation?
He named the animals.
He named the animals. But when Adam approached, when Adam appeared on the scene, was there something that God had not created?
No.
Yeah, Eve.
Eve had not been created. But was there anything else in creation that had not been created?
No.
So the question I'm asking is, when Adam appeared on the scene, did he help God to do something, or did he come to enjoy what God had done?
To enjoy.
Adam appeared on a world that was full of everything that he needed for his stay here, right? Yeah, we said he was God made him the manager of everything he created, but he appeared at a time when God had done everything that needed to be done, right?
Yes.
And Jesus is telling us, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because there's nothing we contribute to the kingdom of God. We come to receive from God. And when we appear on the scene, God already has everything we need. Amen.
Amen.
Establish the supremacy of Holy Scripture. And I want us to get into today's lesson. We have spent about 10 minutes reviewing of the things we have looked at. Do you notice that until this point, in our Bible study, we have only looked at God and his work of creation? Have we looked at anything that man has done? Have we looked at anything that anyone else has done? This far, the only person we've looked at is God and his work of creation, right? So now I want us to look at man. Today, we look at man. We're going to ask somebody to read for us Genesis chapter number 2.
What verse?
Jose, if you can read for us Genesis 1, verse 26 also. Let's begin from there.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Okay. God created man in his own image and likeness. Do we notice that? And I'm going to ask us a question. What in man has the image and likeness of God? Somebody read for us John chapter 4, verse 19 through 26. And I want us to pay close attention to verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 19 through 26. Somebody who can read quickly, please.
The woman said to him, sir, yeah. I perceive that you are a prophet.
Now this is Jesus talking to the woman at the well, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something I want us to hear about what in man looks like God, right? That's the question. What in man is created in the image and likeness of God? Okay, Pastor Mogwe, please.
Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
Verse 24, repeat verse 24 for us, please.
"God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth."
Read the other two verses, 25 and 26.
"The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Jesus, or who is called Christ, sorry. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.'"
Jesus, now this lady is telling Jesus, "The things you're telling me, I perceive you're a prophet. We are waiting for the Messiah. And when he comes here, he'll tell us everything we need to know." Jesus said to her, "I that speak to you, I am?
Spirit.
I am he."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But Jesus is telling her something very important about God. She's asking, "You Jews say we should go to worship in Jerusalem. We Samaritans believe that we worship God in the mountains." Now, I need to explain a lot about that. When Nebuchadnezzar took Israel into captivity, he replaced the Jews with a people of other nations in Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom. When they were taken into captivity, they replaced the Jews with other people. And then it says that they took the basest of the Jews and made them priests. And they made them priests. They did not know a lot about priesthood. They didn't know a lot about Yahweh. And that is when the Jewish religion was corrupted in Samaria. The Jews that are real Orthodox Jews at that time, they called the Samaritans dogs. That's when that began, because of the corruption that happened after the Jews were taken captive in Babylon. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is talking to this woman. She's saying, "You Jews say we should worship at Jerusalem. We Samaritans worship in the mountains. In those mountains, they built high places." They built high places. High places. There's another guy called, remind me, Richard, the son of Nebat. After Solomon died,
Jeroboam,
who was a servant of Solomon, took over the reins. And he was afraid that the Jews would go back. And that's when the kingdom was divided in two. The northern kingdom had 10 tribes. The southern tribe, the kingdom of Judah, had two tribes. So this guy, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was afraid that the Jews going back to Jerusalem to worship there would reconcile themselves to the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. So he built the high places. So the northern kingdom at Samaria became even more corrupt. So this woman is talking to Jesus and saying, you say we should go to Jerusalem. We believe in the mountains. Where is where? Jesus said, you do not know what you worship. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. Salvation. Somebody says salvation.
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 Are we going to be talking about salvation? That's our first topic. This is a topical Bible. It's our first. Jesus is saying salvation is of the Jews. You don't know what you worship. But God is not seeking a place. He's seeking a people. And this is what he's looking for in people. God is a what?
A spirit.
He's a spirit. God is spirit. Let's say that together. God is
spirit.
Let's say it all together. God is spirit. And those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. You get that?
Yeah.
What in man resembles God?
His spirit.
We said last week that when God created man in Genesis chapter 2, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, right?
Yeah.
And he became something. What did he become?
Man. Living being.
A living soul. Remember? A soul is the thinking part of man. Now, man is a triune being. We mentioned that last week. Triune meaning threesome. He has three major components. His spirit. That is who we are. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. God created a clay mold. Then he breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul. As we say, a thinking being.
Wait, so the soul is the same as the mind and
yes.
The spirit?
The soul okay. is the mind. The spirit is the person. The body is the house. Man is a triune being. Let's say that together, please.
Man is a triune being.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Spirit.
Now, if we get that, we are beginning to understand. We are dissecting what we are. And we are going to be able to understand what fell when we fell. Because if we look at man as some block of wood without dissecting him spiritually to see who we are and what fell, we may be talking about the fall of Eve until the cows come home without really knowing what we are talking about. Man is a triune being. God said, let us make man. Is that what we read?
Yes.
Now, something else to note there, and there are many things that we may not pick every nitty-gritty in those passages, but God is speaking to somebody else. Said, let us. God is a Trinity. Is God a Trinity?
Yes. Yeah.
Who are the members of the Trinity?
The Son and
the Holy Spirit. Father,
Son, and Holy Spirit. Say it in order.
God the Father.
Father, Son.
God the Son and God the Holy Spirit.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man is a Trinity. God made man in his image and likeness. God created man a Trinity. Spirit, soul, and body. Confusing?
No,
no.
Okay. Let's look at man, right? Brother Jose, you can read for us now. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 8 and verse 15.
And the Lord, verse 8 and 15. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it.
To work it?
And keep it.
And keep it. Important. To work it and to keep it. To cultivate it and to protect it. Right?
Yes.
To cultivate it and to protect it. Okay. Let's go back a little bit behind Genesis 2. Mm-hmm. What did God say? Let's read verse 5 and 6, Brother Jose, please.
When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground.
Now that's important, that the original earth that God created, look, where did it get moisture to grow the crops? From the rain?
No.
Underneath the ground.
It sprung from the ground. It sprung from the ground. Now, the first time we talk about rain, it's many chapters and many books down the road. It's the floods of Noah. The first time there was rain on the earth, it was a punishment. The earth that God created initially, God caused moisture to come from it. And God's word is telling us there was nobody that was cultivating the ground. But God created Adam, and then he told him, he put him in the garden to do what? Two things.
Cultivate and to keep.
To cultivate and to keep. To tend it and to protect it. And what did God say to him? Let's look at the instructions that God gave him. God watered the vegetation supernaturally, right? Mm-hmm. Is that correct to say that?
Yes.
Because the rain wasn't coming from the skies. Now, keep note of these things that we note this way. Last week we said, when there was no sun, there was still day. Now we are seeing that there was vegetation and there were animals feeding on this vegetation, and yet there was no rain. But a mist came from the ground and watered it. Okay, but God said something to Adam, right? Verse 15, where did he put him?
A garden of Eden.
In a garden. Where did God put man?
In a garden.
in a garden. That's important. He put him in a garden. The Garden of Eden. Now that garden, read it for us again, Brother Jose, verse 15.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it.
In the Garden of Eden, he put him there. Now God planted that garden. Does it say that? He planted that garden after he had done everything else. Can we see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you find the verse, just read it, please.
Verse 8.
Okay, Catherine, read it for us, please.
The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
So God created the heavens and the earth with all that was in it. And then God created man, and then God created the garden. And he put Adam in that garden, the Garden of Eden, right?
Yes.
Okay. He put him there for a reason, two reasons. To cultivate it.
And to keep it.
And to protect it. Now that word keep is to protect, right? If I give you this phone and I told you, keep it, what am I asking you to do?
Take care of it.
Take care of it for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God gave him instructions. So let us look at the instructions that God gave him. Verse 16. Mrs. Cairo, please read it again for us.
The Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely."
Read on.
"But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
Now, the first word of caution from God. God said, "I have given you all these fruits. Eat any that you like. But there is a tree in the midst of the Garden of Eden." When God said that to Adam, was Eve there?
No.
Is Eve created yet?
No.
Now ask last week, the trees in the Garden of Eden, were they literal or are they figurative?
They were literal.
Literal.
Are they literal?
Yes.
Why did I ask that question? Anybody has any guess?
Distinguish whether it's a spiritual dimension, like,
no, because people have gone to they have given all kinds of theories as to what that tree was.
I have had a lot of them too.
And if you have had some of those theories, now is that theory already refuted here? Because Adam is the one that received that instruction. Right?
Yes.
I don't want to get into foolish issues. I don't want us to use some language in this school. Right? But when they have talked, people have said that Adam had sexual relations with Eve, and that was the tree of knowledge. Is that supported by this kind of scriptures that we are looking at?
No.
Absolutely not. Eve was not even in the scene. God said, "There's a tree there, don't eat it." Right?
Mm-hmm.
What tree was it? What did God call it?
Knowledge of good and evil.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Write that down. Let's even say it out loud. The tree of
knowledge of good and evil.
The tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge. It's the tree of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I say, when God created Adam, he breathed the breath of life. That is the spirit, pneuma. He became a living intellectual. not because God breathed the breath of life, but he became an intelligent being. And what did God do with Adam first? He asked him to, he passed animals through him. And he named every one of them. He was intelligent. Adam was an intellectual. He's the one that gave all the animals their names. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
We are trying to establish some truths. Please listen. I can feel a little, I don't know what to call it. It's going to get interesting. But I want us to establish the authority of Holy Scripture, because we must refute everything else and let God's word be true and everybody a liar.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. God put him there to dress it and to keep it. Now, God told him, what did God say? Mrs. Cairo, read it again.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die.
You shall?
Surely die.
Surely?
Die.
Die. You will?
Die.
Surely. Surely. Surely die. Is that what God said?
Yes.
In the day you eat, you will surely die. Okay, then verse 19 through 20, God, Adam names all the creatures, right?
Yeah.
Then God creates Adam, creates Eve. In verse 18, God says it's not good for Adam to be alone. I'll make him a help suitable for him. The King James Version says a help meet for him, meet suitable, right? That's what some of your scriptures say. You know, if we have to, if we read every scripture, we'll never move. And I want us to get somewhere. Right? Then God made Adam sleep. He put him into some kind of, what do you call it? Medical literature. Put him at anesthesia, right? Took out a rib and used the rib to make a woman. And when Adam saw the woman, he said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, meaning taken out of man. Right?
Yeah.
Is that correct or not correct?
Correct.
I know we haven't read it, but you have read the Bibles and you have the Bibles in front of you. I'm trying to get us to get somewhere, because we must get somewhere today, because we are going to be talking about salvation next week. We're going to be talking about Abraham next week. We're going to enter into the reason we started all this. Right?
Yes.
So I'll make him a suitable helper. God made, took out a rib. That rib is still missing on one side of our rib cage. Is it still missing? Is it true that men have 11 ribs on one side and 12 on the other?
I don't know about that. I don't think
is it?
Man, that's your biology.
We have the same number.
No, we don't.
We don't?
No, we don't.
What?
No, we don't. Now, Adam, God removed a rib from the side of Adam and used it to make Eve. And Adam said, she shall be called woman. She was taken out of man. God, he didn't even ask God, because his assignment was to name things. Now he saw something else that has been created and he named it. Right? This shall be called woman, taken out of man. He understood. All right?
Mm-hmm.
This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Now, I'm sure we are good that far. As Christians in Kenya Christian Fellowship in America, Baltimore chapter, I'm sure we are good that far. Patricia, don't you think we are good that far?
I feel like it's a trick question, but I'm going to say yes.
What's not correct? Is it that?
No, we're good. We're good thus far. I think we've come. We're on the rim. I have to go count. I want to pull up Google. But anyway, yes, we're good thus far. We are good thus far.
Men have one rib missing.
Oh wow!
In fact, if you found the carcass of a man or the carcass of a human being down in the woods, the only way you would be able to quickly tell whether it was a man or a woman is to look at the rib.
The number. Okay.
You count the ribs. Well, Genesis chapter 3. This is where
thank you for that.
Right?
Yeah.
Brother Jose?
Yes.
Are you ready, sir?
Which verse?
1-8.
All right. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
That's quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But let us dissect it. The serpent was more subtle and all the creatures that God had created, right?
Yeah.
He was more cunning. And he spoke to the woman. What did he say? Did God really say? What did the woman say? What did the woman say? What did Eve say? We know the woman is Eve, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did she say?
We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Who did God give the instruction when he spoke about the forbidding of not eating that tree?
He gave it to Adam.
Had Eve been created?
Mm-hmm.
She was inside Adam.
I know you did that last time. But had she been created?
No.
She
had not been created. How did Eve get to know that that's what God said?
Adam told her.
When the serpent was talking to Eve, where was Adam?
He was right there. I'm actually surprised because it says he was right there.
That's what I wanted you to say. Brother Jose, just read again what you just read.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate.
He was starting right there. Adam was starting right there. When that conversation was going on, Adam was standing right there. What did God say to Adam?
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you will surely die.
What did the serpent say to Eve?
You will not surely die.
God said, you will surely die. The serpent said, you will not surely die. Note those things. God said, in the day you eat, you will surely die. The serpent said, you will not surely die. Because I have an assignment for you tonight. You right?
Mm-hmm.
Compare Genesis 2:16-17 with Genesis 3:4. God said, in the day you eat thereof, Sister Catherine, I think you read for us as Genesis 2:16-17. Would you read it again, please?
And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you shall surely die.
Brother Jose, read for us chapter 3:4. I think you read it.
But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
God said something. The serpent said something.
Mm-hmm.
Last week I asked us a question. If you found a scripture in the Bible that gave you express instructions concerning something you're dealing with, would you obey it or would you seek a different opinion?
Mm-hmm.
The woman saw, Brother Jose read for us, the woman saw that the tree was good. Please read it again for us. I want these things to sink. Verse 6, chapter 3.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate.
Let us follow the order of things there. Eve saw. Number one, what did she do?
She saw
good for food.
She saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes.
Mm.
And that it was desirable to make one wise. It's possible Eve had never considered looking at that tree at all.
Mm-hmm.
Until now. Another voice has said something that has contradicted what God said. And now it is God's word against this person's word. When God speaks and somebody else speaks, whose voice will carry the name? We may easily accuse Eve. But what do we do ourselves? Have we ever read something that clearly gives us instructions on what God wants us to do? Now we read the Beatitude, right? Today, only one attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do we take a lot of delight in seeming not to know?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we feel like we would rather
mm-hmm.
be on the know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would we rather be children before God that need to be taught, or would we rather be mature who are full of information? Let somebody read for us 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. Somebody who hasn't read for us.
What verses again, Pastor Bush?
Second Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3. Somebody who hasn't said anything tonight.
It says, I'm sorry. It says someone else didn't say anything.
Yeah. Would you like to read it for us, Sister Margaret?
Sure. Second Corinthians 11:2. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
That is Paul writing to the church in Corinth and saying, I betrothed you to one husband, Christ. And I'm jealous for you. Right? You don't fall into the same trap that Eve fell into. The serpent, through his subtlety, tells you you will not surely die. So she took the fruit, she ate the fruit, she gave her husband the fruit who was studying by her, and he ate. And God started issuing edicts of punishment, because every disobedience shall meet divine retribution. Now we are in a problem. Now is a good time to start talking about salvation. Now that is the great problem. That is the fall of man. So I have an assignment for you tonight. I will put it up. One moment. Can I share my screen, Sister Patricia?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Somebody want to read it out for us? Sister Catherine, you read it for us last week.
No. This is the homework for October 4, 2021. God warned Adam that he would surely die on the day he would eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent told Eve they wouldn't surely die. Did Adam and Eve die on the day that they ate the forbidden fruit? Explain your answer. Who told the truth about the consequences of eating the forbidden fruit? God or the serpent? Explain your answer. What lessons can we learn from Eve's discussion with the serpent about engaging people who say things aimed at discrediting God's word?
You want to take a picture? That's our assignment for today. Are we good? Are we all good? Can I put it down?
Yeah.
Okay. Over to you, Sister Patricia.
Oh, wow. Yes, lots to think about, lots to read, and great homework to help us reflect and prepare for next time. we can't say thank you enough to you, Pastor Mbue, for all that you are putting the effort into just preparing for us each and every Monday. We're really, really grateful. Last week, people asked questions and you responded to those questions pretty quickly, and we were able to send them out. So we are inviting all of you again. If you still have lingering questions, they may be related to this particular study or something else that is coming up for you. As you are listening, we invite you to use the link that I'm putting in the chat, that form, and you can just type in your questions and Pastor Mbue will either address them at the Bible study, or he will create a document that has all that information or answers to your questions. We will post the recording to this so that you can review it and use it in the on YouTube. And you can also go to kcfabaltimore.com, which is our website, and you'll have that. Wanjao usually posts the messages there once the videos come out. We're grateful again that you are able to join with us. I am going to invite Catherine, if you could please say our closing prayer, and then we will be done for the evening.
Right, let us give thanks. Father, I thank you for this table that you have laid before us. Father, how humbling it is to read your word and have it indeed pierced through bone and marrow, O Lord, even to the division of spirit, Lord. Father, indeed, this word has gone deep into our hearts and has caused us to ponder and to think, especially, Lord God, of our heritage that you already created us as intellectuals, Almighty God. Yet, O Lord God Almighty, many times the enemy has made us think otherwise. Lord, even with the word that you have spoken to us, the written word you have given us in your, that you have given us as a manual, as a map of how to walk this earth. And many times, especially in the days we are living in, God, this word is constantly being refuted. And Father, the refutes look so enticing. And many times, oh Lord, we are led astray. So Father, I thank you for this table that you have laid before us, that we may partake of this Bible study, that we may be reminded of the truth, the infallible truth of your word. Father, I thank you for Pastor Mbue. I thank you for his wife, Rachel, and their family. For Father God Almighty, they serve us together, though he serves as the main. As Father, they do that, I pray you protect them. I pray you watch over them. I pray for increased wisdom as he continues to help us to dissect your word. God, I thank you for Patricia and the local chapter board. I thank you that, Father, they cried for our hearts, that, Lord, they desired that we may grow spiritually. We may grow to know you, God. I thank you for KCFA. I thank you because it is through KCFA we are gathered this evening at this table to break bread together. Lord, I bless this organization and its leaders from the national to the local chapter. I pray for every person who has attended, Lord. I pray that, God, their lives will never be the same because they have been partaking at this table. I pray that the fire that will be kindled in them will be spread even to their homes, to their friends. And it's not just about inviting people to the Bible study, but Father, that we are transformed, that people will ask us, what is different? What has happened? How come you look different? Father, I pray there will be a transformation inside out, O Lord, for each and every one of us who will be on this journey for this Bible study. Father, I pray that even those who you will join to us, Lord, will continue to experience this fire that you have started. Father, we pray your protection around us as we continue to study your word. We pray for illumination of our spirit as we continue to know more about you. Bless this week for every person. Whatever challenges any of us may be facing, I pray that, God, you will give them renewed strength to even dig into your word, to find your promises, to find what you're saying concerning their situation. And that your word, O Lord, your instruction in your word is what we will heed to, Lord. For you desire for us to be betrothed to you and to be faithful to you. We worship you and we bless you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us again. We will see you on Monday at 8:30 for the next session. Be sure to do your homework. Monday comes quickly, before you know it. God bless you all, and may this word indeed be a light unto your feet, and a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your path. God bless you. Good night.
Amen. Sister Patricia, perhaps just